Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Sometimes when we talk to people who are not familiar with the history and doctrine of the LDS Church, and we try to explain to them what Mormon leaders have taught in the past, it's not uncommon for, especially those of a Christian background, to really be perplexed by some of the truth claims that have been made by Mormon leaders. One of them happens to deal with the subject of Adam Ondi Ammon, which is located about 60 miles north of Independence, Missouri. And it was here that Joseph Smith claimed that Adam fled to after he was expelled from the Garden of Eden. There was an article in the Church News written by R. Scott Lloyd. It was published on November 9th, 2012. And it starts off by saying it's the shortest revelation in the Doctrine and Covenants, a mere 37 words, but section 116 regarding Adam Ondi Ammon reflects substantial historical and doctrinal import, according to Alexander L. Baugh, who is a professor in the Department of Church History and Doctrine at BYU. First of all, we should probably read section 116 actually says.
It just says, Spring Hill is named by the Lord Adam Ondi Ammon because, said he, it is the place where Adam shall come to visit his people, or the Ancient of Days shall sit, as spoken of by Daniel the prophet.
And that's exactly what this article says. It says in the third paragraph, first it reveals that the region of Spring Hill, Davies County, Missouri, was the ancient homeland of Adam and Eve following their expulsion from the Garden of Eden. Now certainly, that would go against the grain of what most Bible scholars would say. Bible scholars always tend to point towards the Middle East. What's the reason for that? Well, it's because the Bible account gives the mention of two rivers that are still in existence today, the Tigris and the Euphrates River. And so Bible scholars would tend to go in that direction. Mm-hmm. They would not go in the direction of it being in the Western Hemisphere. Now, there was an article written by Andrew Jensen. Andrew Jensen was the church historian for many years, and his statements can be found in a multiple-volume set called The Collected Discourses. In Volume 2, page 158 to 159, this is what Andrew Jensen actually says.
A short time ago, the Washington Post made a remarkable statement regarding the location of the Garden of Eden. It announced that Dr. Campbell of Versailles had lately discovered that it was on this continent and near where St. Louis now stands. That gentleman, according to the Post, asserted that the Mississippi River is the Euphrates of Scripture, and that the Bible furnishes evidence of the correctness of his conclusions. It is probable that Dr. Campbell is not aware of the fact that he is not the discoverer of what he now announces. The prophet Joseph Smith, having many years ago stated that the Garden of Eden was located in what is now known as the state of Missouri. The prophet also pointed out the precise spot where Adam offered sacrifice to the Lord, and where, as the great patriarchal head of the race, he blessed his children previous to his departure from the earth. That sacred spot in Missouri was designated by the prophet as Adam Ondi Ammon, the meaning of which is the land where Adam dwelt. My conclusion is this: if scientific men, by the evidences producible at this late day, can indicate that the Garden of Eden was at or near the place where St. Louis, Missouri now stands, the Lord who originally planted the garden himself could designate the exact spot and tell his prophet that the first garden, the original paradise of man, was located in Jackson County, Missouri, just 150 miles northwest of St. Louis.
Here we have a person saying back in the late 19th century when he made this comment, actually concurring with what this article is implying here in 2012. So this is not a historical piece of doctrine that has been jettisoned by the Mormon Church since that time period. They really do believe that that's where the Garden of Eden was located. Why? Because Joseph Smith said so. And this is kind of how Mormon apologists have argued. It really doesn't matter what biblical scholarship has to say about it. It all goes back to Joseph Smith.
Yeah, we looked up an article in fairmormon.org, and one of the articles was dealing with this issue and was criticizing those who would say that the church is wrong on this or that Joseph Smith was wrong. And this is what the article concluded. The real question should be, how do LDS justify their interpretation of Ancient of Days as Adam? LDS are not dependent upon biblical interpretation for a complete understanding of the meaning of this or any other term. Since LDS have a more expanded idea of Adam's role, it is not surprising that they interpret some verses differently. What that says to me, Bill, is that it doesn't matter what the original author meant, it's how do you interpret it. And this is what postmodernism is all about. It's not the writer that dictates how it ought to be interpreted, but rather the reader.
And in this case, it would be specifically Joseph Smith, because he's the one that everybody points to for saying that the Garden of Eden was actually located in the Western Hemisphere. In his book, The Mormon Beliefs and Doctrines Made Easier by David J. Ridges, which seems to be, it's becoming a very popular series that many Mormons are looking to, he says on page 8, after giving Daniel 7:14 as a reference, he says, if you have a newer quad or triple combination, you can look at the pictures at the very back, refer to picture number 10, read the information at the bottom, and be taught who will attend the meeting at Adam on Diamond shortly before the second coming. It says, quoting, the valley of Adam on Diamond, here Adam and his righteous posterity met, and he says to see Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, 53-57. He goes on to say, Adam, other prophets, and faithful saints from all ages will meet the Savior here prior to his second coming. So this is still something that is being taught in LDS circles today. Now, why do we have a problem with this whole concept? Well, he says, in Mr. Scott Lloyd, R. Scott Lloyd says in his article, second, it mentions the biblical prophecy in Daniel 7, 9 through 10 and 13 through 14 that describes a latter-day event in which the resurrected Jesus Christ and the resurrected Adam, called the Ancient of Days, will preside in an assemblage of Adam's posterity at Adam on Diamond prior to Christ's second coming to all the world. Now, that sounds exactly like what I just read to you from Mr. Ridge's book. The problem we have with this conclusion is when they talk about Daniel and the reference to the Ancient of Days, that scholars have always looked at this as being just a reference to God or another name for God, the Most High. Joseph Smith comes in and says, no, it's a reference to Adam. That causes some confusion here. So the problem, of course, when we look, for instance, I have in my hand the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. And this little section, it's a very small section that was actually written by Roland Kenneth Harrison, who was an Old Testament scholar. And he says simply, the title alternated with Most High, and he gives Daniel 7, 18 through 27 as his reference, and appears to depict God enthroned in judgment over the great world empires. And that's about all he says on it. It's a very small section in International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. This is an Old Testament scholar giving this, and he's not alone. The Jewish Encyclopedia also gives a very similar definition of who the Ancient of Days is.
Yeah, this was the 1906 Jewish Encyclopedia. You can find this on the internet, and in part under its article of Ancient of Days, it says, accordingly, Ancient of Days remained with these a favorite name of God. It became, moreover, the standing name of God in the oldest portions. And it goes on and talks about some of those portions, and so definitely referring not just to the Bible, but also to extra-biblical writings and their traditions.
In this article titled Adam on Diamond Has Past Future Import, and again, this was published on November 9, 2012, Alexander Baugh says this, it says, Brother Baugh concluded his presentation with a statement from Elder Bruce R. McConkie, a member of the Quorum of the Twelve, relative to the future appearance of Jesus Christ at Adam on Diamond. Elder McConkie wrote, quoting, He will come in private to his prophet and to the apostles then living. Those who have held keys and powers and authorities in all ages from Adam to the present will also be present. And further, all the faithful members of the church then living and the faithful saints of all the ages past and present will be present. It will be the greatest congregation of faithful saints ever assembled on planet Earth. It will be a sacrament meeting. It will be a day of judgment for the faithful of all ages. The article ends quite interesting here. It says, Brother Baugh noted that some have wondered how the locale will be able to accommodate such a large assemblage, but he noted that the bulk of the congregation would either be resurrected beings or disembodied spirits of those who have died. I wonder how many Latter-day Saints have actually looked at this very closely and agree with some of the conclusions that Mr. Baugh has, or some of the conclusions that Bruce McConkie had about this. I really don't know. I have talked to Mormons who firmly believe that Adam on Diamond was the place where Adam fled to after he was expelled from the garden. In fact, you and I, we've mentioned this before, you and I have been out there more than once, and you've actually talked to the curator out there. I'm sure that it's a different one now. This was a while ago. But he was adamant about this. And the problem, why is this a big issue? Because if you really believe that that's where the Garden of Eden was located, you probably are holding to one of three theories as to where the Book of Mormon lands were actually located, because that would be known as the Heartland Model, different from what a lot of BYU professors hold to, and that is the limited geography theory. If you believe that the Garden of Eden was located in Missouri, then you probably hold to the Heartland Model.
One of the things that we are disagreeing with is you have to believe Joseph Smith in order to believe the interpretation that's being said here. The FairMormon.org article ends this way. Once again, the theological preconceptions with which we approach the biblical text affects how we read it. And I would say absolutely.
I would say no kidding. And that's the problem we have a lot of times with Latter-day Saint scholars and apologists, is how they interpret things. It certainly isn't the way that we would think is a proper way of interpreting things. Sadly, many Latter-day Saints put more trust in what Joseph Smith said than what the Bible actually tells us.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South in West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.